Paul Desmond was about the most lyrical saxophone player I ever heard in the entire history of jazz. It was just pure, unadulterated melodic beauty.
When he played, when he improvised, he would come up with melodies of his own that were usually better than the original melody.
I think he was one of the greatest ballad players, but I also think he was one of the best rhythmic players.
Paul could do it all. Let's face it, he could burn, he could play a ballad, he could go and play the blues for you if it's come to that.
And he could spin out, on the occasions when he chose to do it, which wasn't often enough, chorus after chorus after chorus of the most inventive stuff.
He was an emotional intellectual, and he could play both ways at the same time. And, you know, that's a trick.
Was magic in the music of Paul Desmond. Known to millions as the saxophone voice of the Dave Brubeck Quartet, he amazed with his technique, entranced with his lyricism, and surprised with his humor. But there is more to Paul Desmond than meets the ears. He was a well-read and sophisticated man, with a razor-sharp wit and a deep sense of melancholy. And though he became one of the most famous figures in jazz, he couldn't have cared less. I'm Nancy Wilson. This time on Jazz Profiles, the man they called the swinging introvert, the music, the life, and the many ironies of alto saxophonist Paul Desmond. Whenever they performed, Paul would stand on stage in the crook of Dave Brubeck's piano. He listened intently, with his head bowed down and his hand folded around his saxophone. Then, deep into his solo, the tall and lanky Desmond would stand on one leg, looking a lot like his nickname, the Stork. That's what audiences saw. What they heard was something else altogether. Record producer John Snyder.
It's amazing to think about that piece of pipe producing that beautiful sound, because really it's just a piece of metal with some holes in it, and I mean, no one else sounds like Paul Desmond.
You can hear three notes from him on a car radio or something and know that's Paul.
Writer and lyricist Gene Lees asked Paul where his light lyrical tone came from. The answer was pure Desmond.
And I printed it somewhere, and then he said he wished he never said it because everybody quoted it so much, but he said he was trying to get a sound like a dry martini.
If Paul Desmond sounded like a dry martini, then his most intoxicating moments came when he played a beautiful ballad. His deep lyricism and profound sense of melody were irresistible trademarks. Again, Gene Lee's.
I can't define great melodicism. You know it instantly when you hear it. All of the major popular composers, Harold Arlen, Cole Porter, they all had it. Gershwin particularly. Paul had that quality.
Sharing the stage with Paul during many of those lyrical moments was bassist and fellow Brubeck Quartet member Eugene Wright.
When he got through playing that ballad, there was nothing left for us to do but just take the tune out, because he has said everything any of us could say on this tune. And the people would recognize these moments to the point they would stand up and applaud for 5-10 minutes.
From the Dave Brubeck album, Jazz Goes to College. Paul Desmond conveyed incredible emotion through his music, but he could also make us laugh. Again, like a martini, his sly sense of humor was dry, a little tart, and very potent. And puns were his specialty.
Paul was sardonic.
Again, John Snyder.
He loved the irony of a situation. He was so debonair about everything. It was always interesting to see him observe what was going on around him and then make one of those comments, like the T.S. Eliot quote.
Pianist Dave Brubeck.
That's how the world ends, not with a whim, but a banker, was what he said when he saw his girlfriend coming out of some expensive place with a guy that looked very wealthy.
That's typical of him. It's almost like he had that line and he saved it for that moment, and it was perfect. He got me reading T.S. Eliot just to check that out.
Guitarist Jim Hall shared more than a book list with Desmond. They also shared a great musical rapport and a lot of laughs, like the time they were working with a record producer who was constantly on the telephone.
Which is kind of off-putting, because you make a record once a year and you really work on it, and then the guy who's supposed to be helping you is ordering food or calling somebody else from the booth while you're recording. So it kind of went like that. Finally, after one take, Paul said to all of us, he said, go in the booth. So we all went in. We're waiting there with the producer. All of a sudden, the phone rings in the booth, and it's Paul. He's calling the guy from down the hall. He says, hello, so-and-so, this is Desmond. How was that last take? I mean, that's the kind of approach he had to life.
I'm Nancy Wilson with a tribute to the life and music of alto saxophonist Paul Desmond on NPR's Jazz Profiles.